number 207. The name is not to be mentioned. Mrs. Gittleman, please tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live?
Well, the...
In what country?
In Brest-Litovsk, Grodno-Lubelnia.
Which is Poland.
Now it's Poland. At that time it was Russia.
And was it a town?
It was a very big town, very large town. A very large,
large town.
A large town where they had the, how would I say it, the crepist. They called it the crepist because my grandfather used to do work there.
What is the crepist?
The crepist means is where they kept all the ammunition.
Number 207. The name is not to be mentioned. Mrs. Gittleman, please tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live?
Well, the...
In what country?
In Brest-Litovsk, Grodno-Lubelnia.
Which is Poland.
Now it's Poland. At that time it was Russia.
And was it a town?
It was a very big town, very large town. A very large,
large town,
town. A large town where they had the, how would I say it, the crepist. They called it the crepist because my grandfather used to do work there.
What is the crepist?
The crepist means is where they kept all the ammunition.
Ammunition?
Ammunition, yeah, for fighting, for all those things they kept there in the crepist, they call that. And well, nobody was allowed in that place, and that's where it was a very large town. Any town in Europe that where they have soldiers staying, that is a big town. So our town was a very large town. Yeah.
Was your house? What was your house like?
It was a building, a brick building. It was a beautiful building.
An apartment or a home?
A home. It was belonged to my grandfather. I was born and raised there.
It was belonged to your grandfather and
my grandfather's house.
And it was not a farm. This was a large city.
A large city. I was disappointed in Pittsburgh when I came over.
We hear this. Could you tell me about your family that lived in the house with you? How many brothers did you have?
I didn't have any.
No brothers.
I'm an only child because my father died. I was 3 years old.
You're an only child. And how long did you live in that home?
Well, until I went to America.
So you were about...
The right age, I did not know, because it's not recorded, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. The right age, girls don't know how old they are. It's the boys that know, because they have to go to be a soldier. So the government lets them know not to forget it. But it's the girls, they don't know. But how do they know their age? They say, oh, you was born the first... We had a... two big fires in our town. So if they wanted to know how old you were, they'd say, well, she was born before the first fire, so it is so-and-so.
Very good. So you think you were about 14 when you came here? You mentioned earlier.
About 14. I must have been around 14. Because I didn't travel by myself. I traveled with a man that was going to Cleveland to assist to this. And I come in a much older ticket because I was alone.
I see.
The ticket that I come, I was 18 on that ticket.
You were?
Yeah, so because I traveled by myself. This man couldn't claim me because he was a strange man. He was going to Cleveland. But they know the family, so that's why he took care of me. He says, don't worry about her. I'll keep an eye on her. See?
All right. What kind of work did you do in Europe? Any work?
Learning for dressmaker.
You were learning dressmaking. And how about your father?
My father was a rabbi.
Your father was a rabbi?
Yeah. But he didn't have a synagogue yet because he took sick and he died, but he was a very young man. I wasn't quite 3 years old. He died in Vienna.
In Vienna?
Yes, that's where he's buried.
So are you Polish or German? Austrian?
No, I was born... My father was born in a small town near Brest-Litovsk, but he was gone to the yeshiva all his life, and by the time it came to living, he was already sick and it didn't last long.
And may I ask why he was buried in Vienna?
Because they said they had big doctors there, bigger than from us, when they wanted to go to a big doctor that went to Warsaw. And my grandfather was a rich man at that time. So and my father was such a great man. He was a Finnish rabbi, a young man like that. That he says, I'll give you the money, because my father never made any money. He gave my mother the money, my father, and they said, you go to Vienna. There was bigger doctors than in Warsaw, because for us it's a big town, but they used to go to Warsaw. And in Vienna was bigger doctors, and that's why they sent them there.
He had
yellow jaundice.
I see.
And
now, excuse me one moment. I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but what did your grandfather do?
My grandfather, well, he was making those candlesticks, we called it a masonic there. I don't know what you would call it. They used to make the candlesticks and all them breasts. He used to make the forms.
I see.
And he used to melt the breasts. And then after he'd melt the breasts, they would come out like a candlestick. Then he used to have a wheel, like, and we turned it by hand. We used to have the children help him, and he would polish it. It's like it come to the store, you know, like a candlestick that I have, but breasts. That's what my grandfather used to do. And for the department stores, he used to make chandeliers.
What were the languages that were spoken in your home?
In my home?
Yes.
Just Yiddish.
Yiddish.
And I talk very well Yiddish. Very well.
And what kind of schooling did you have in
Europe?
Yes.
None. Except through a Jewish teacher.
Came to your home?
No, I went to him. A Jewish cheder, they called it.
Yeah,
cheder.
All right. And what was your synagogue like? Did you have a synagogue?
Yeah, we had different kind. Yeah. They had small ones. They had one real big one, a real big one. But the wealthy Jews used to go there, and my grandfather was a very religious man. He used to go to a plain, small place, like a synagogue here, like you say, the Chofetz Chaim.
Like a small home.
Yeah, a small place. That's where my...
And
the
women
didn't
I'm
go.
Sorry, the women did not go?
No, just in the holiday, the high holidays.
And could you please tell me what your relations were with the non-Jewish...
None.
None. Mrs. Gittleman, did you belong to or attend any political organizations in Europe?
No.
And what were your relationship of the government of your country to the Jews? What was the... Do you remember what the relationship
was? Well, it wasn't too good.
It wasn't too good?
No.
Can you elaborate on that? I mean, are there any examples that you can give me?
My grandfather owned this big building. It was a beautiful building. And we had to clean the streets so many times a week. And on Saturday, my grandfather would go to shul. And they used to rap on his window to go out and clean the shul. So you say, hey, Jew, you go out and clean the streets. So we used to have to go to clean the streets, the children. Not only the pavement, but the middle of the street. Everything was cleft just so. So you had to do that.
And the Gentiles didn't do this?
Yeah, the Gentiles did that too.
But the only thing that was bad is it on Saturday.
It's the way, yeah.
And what did you think of America at that time?
Well, if you were real religious, like my grandfather, he would think of America as a tréfélant. A non-kosher, because they work on Saturday. And he says, that's why they make money, but their money has no value, because they work on Saturday, and they're not religious. So that's why there's a lot of suffering. That's the way my grandfather looked at it.
And you, naturally?
Me, I wanted to come here on the worst way, but I had no way of coming.
Do you know why? Can you remember?
Why? Because I had no family. I had nobody here. Just my.
I mean, why you wanted to come to America?
Because I ran away from so much misery.
And you, as young as you were, you realized
very much misery, because I went with girls. They come from nice homes. They had educations, and the father was a rabbi, and they were high class. And I went to those kids, and I felt very depressed. I couldn't have an education. My home wasn't a pleasant home. because there was a lot of children in the home. And
I thought that you were an only child.
No, but it was a lot of my grandfathers. My grandmother and grandfather, they had about 7 children. When my father died, my mother was in the house. When she was with her husband, the home was a home because they looked up to my father. But after he died, the home was not good for her anymore. She was alone with the child. She felt like she was one too much. So my grandfather says to her, you go and get married. And there they read a shidduch. You know, it's not like a big girl.
They arrange it, yes.
Yeah. Well, she had met this man, and this man was a divorced man. And he had a girl with his first wife. And he says to her, if I don't keep my child, I don't want you to keep your child. My grandfather said to her, if you want to go and get married, let the child not be in your way. I'll have 7, I'll have 8. So she went and got married, and this is the house where I remained until I left. And she went away, she got married, she went away, she raised a family.
I see.
I was never with her.
So you left the country where you were born because of what you just finished telling me.
Yeah, I wanted to go. Very bad, because I knew that this would be a future for me. But the European people feel that when you come to America, when they send away a child, they might as well the child be dead because they never see the child again.
Uh-huh.
They don't look like it's a future, it's good for the children. But they look, well, I'll never see her again.
Uh-huh.
That's why the people didn't care to let the children go. When the child went, it's because his own will was there. The child wanted to go.
Well, you have very good reason to leave. And why is it that you've chose the United States? Any special reason?
Because I heard that this was a good country. A lot of people that went. And I figured, oh, if I could only get there, that would be my life would begin. I had this plan before I got here. How my life is going to be. Because it wasn't peaches and cream when I came.
No. Did you have any destination? Just the United States or Pittsburgh?
Just the United States. I didn't care where it was located.
You didn't?
No.
Were you part of a group traveling together? Or
yeah.
Who did you travel
with?
Well,
I don't know.
You don't know what group it was?
No. We had to steal the border to get to Warsaw from our town. We took a train a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Would you want to know that?
Yes, please.
Well, we took the train on Saturday night from Brest-Litovsk to Warsaw. There we got there in the morning. A man met us at the station and took us to a house. Well, the windows was all shut. We couldn't see nothing. We stayed there until they said in the evening we're going to steal the border. And I paid my family, my aunt, my mother's sister. She was on my side all the time. She felt sorry for me, the life that I had, because I felt in the house that I was the fifth wheel to the wagon, because their children didn't have any better than I did. But you know how you feel when you don't have the things that you want to have. You figure, well, if I wouldn't be a granddaughter, if I would have my own parents, it wouldn't be like that. You always feel that you're defeated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my aunt, my mother's sister, she was very good to me. She made up for my mother. She was a wonderful person. She gave me the money, this $50 that you have to pay to the man, the go-between from Brest-Litovsk until you get on the German side. So she gave him $50. And there was a group of people, not only me by myself, there was a group of people. We stayed in this house a whole day, and at night when it got dark, they took all those people out. I don't know, I don't remember how we got to this place. It was a big field, and it was in December, the beginning of December. It was very cold. We got there, and this man left us off in the field, standing only those people that were traveling. We didn't see a soul. He stayed there the whole night. We were so cold, miserable cold.
How many of you were there?
Well, I would say it must have been about by 35 to 50 people. No children. There was no children, all adults. I must have been but the youngest, all grown up people. Then we were out of patience, staying in a wilderness for so long. Then some man come along, and he says that somebody will come, and he'll lead us the way to get over the border to get the German side. Well, we stayed and waited until a young boy, must have been about 14, come along, and he says, everything was in Jewish. Everything is conducted in Jewish. People don't talk two languages together. The average person don't. They either talk Russian or they talk Yiddish. Well, this boy says, follow me. We were glad to follow anybody. So we walked and we walked and we walked until we come to our little place. What is it? It looked like it was a gutter. There wasn't any wider than this.
I guess that's about 36 and no, that's about 24 inches.
Yeah, a gutter. In the gutter, there was a guard, a soldier. He was wearing a thing on the head, on the back, you know, like the Russian soldiers. And he was walking back and forth, back and forth. And when we crossed it,
the border,
with the border, he was walking this way.
Oh,
he wasn't walking to us.
Walking
he was
away.
Walking away like he didn't see us. And after we walked over this little place, this little border, we were in Germany. We were so happy to be there.
And then from Germany, you went where?
In Germany, we were in Bremen. Well,
and
they
you took
us
the ship
with
there?
A train, with a train. And there you had to go through all kinds of doctors.
Yes, go ahead.
I had an air tongue, and it had a pin. And everybody that come along says, take the hat off of the pin, take the hat off of the pin. I don't know what that was for. I couldn't understand it. Why? They all talk German, and we all talk Jewish. Well, from there, they took us on a train.
To Bremen?
From there where we were.
From your ship?
The border.
From the border, you went by train to Bremen?
To Bremen. To Bremen, we had to take the ship.
To the United States?
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the ship?
Yes. When we got to Bremen, the boat that we were supposed to take, that was on a Thursday, left that morning. By the time we got there, that boat was gone.
You missed it.
We all missed it. The whole crowd that was going, that we all missed the train. The boat. Well, we had to wait another Thursday, for the coming Thursday. Well, they put us in a house, a big house, all around. There was a big yard, and there was cottages. Like motels,
uh-huh.
All around, and they had servants taking care, and they gave you three meals. And when I was there on that Saturday, they had performed services. And at the services, they announced that Mendel Bayless had died that Friday night.
And who was he?
Mendel Bayless. He was a Jew that was fighting for the trials that the Jewish, they were prosecuting, that the Jewish people need blood for Pesach, to sacrifice something.
Oh,
and this Mendel Bayless.
Is that the Fixer? Is that the movie that the Fixer is all about?
Yeah.
The young man that is accused of killing a child?
Yeah, he was the lawyer. He was fighting for him to prove for the Jewish people that the Jewish people don't need a sacrifice.
But isn't that what the movie The Fixer is about? That the movie The Fixer is based on that.
Mendel Bayless.
I'm almost sure, yeah.
Well, that was the time when I was in Bremen. That Friday night, he died.
How interesting.
And I can remember that distinctly.
Do you remember, Mrs. Gittleman, the name of the ship?
Yeah, Frankfurt, a German ship.
Frankfurt, the Frankfurt.
Yeah.
The SS Frankfurt, then.
Yeah.
And do you remember who met you when you came here?
Well, this was my father had cousins in the United States. One, I knew his wife. I didn't know him.
And is he the one who met you at the ship?
He's the one that sent me a ticket to come to America. If it wouldn't be for here, I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't be for this family.
And when you got to the United States at the ship, who met you, your uncle or an organization?
My cousin, the same cousin that sent the ticket for me. I arrived to Baltimore.
You arrived to Baltimore?
Yeah. We rode for 21 days on that ship.
For 21 days.
Then we arrived in Baltimore. From Baltimore, we took a train to come to Pittsburgh. Well, while we were in Baltimore, we had to go through all kinds of examinations, if your health was good or your eyes. Anybody that had glaucoma was sent back.
They were?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a dangerous thing. When I got there, they asked me questions. Oh, I was going to, what I was going to do there.
And Mrs. Gittleman, was there any special thing that you had to do in order to get into this country? Could you told me before you had 1 ruble.
Yeah.
And 1 ruble
you
was
needed,
how much? How much was a ruble?
$2.
$2.
Yeah.
And you needed how much?
I needed money to show that I had money.
And how much did you need to show?
$50.
$50. And your uncle, cousin gave it to
you? My cousin, they told me, he says, there is $50 for you. You go over and you take it by this window, like a bank. Go over and get. So they gave me $50. I didn't know whether they were going to see, whether I was going to receive money. And they say this cousin from Pittsburgh sent it. This was in Baltimore.
And in Baltimore, you were not met by your cousin?
No, no. I was met by the B&L station in Pittsburgh.
But not an organization?
No, no. Like
you just?
Just individual. Each one
and
went a different
from
place.
From Baltimore, did you go right to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, yeah.
Your cousin asked you to come to Pittsburgh?
My cousin lived in Pittsburgh. They lived in Frankston Avenue.
All right. What objects or papers did you bring to the United States with you? Did you have any papers at all?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
And what was your name in Europe? Was it the same as it is now, Gittleman?
No. This is my married name.
What was your name?
Fagel Steyman. Fagel.
F-A?
Yeah.
G-E-L.
Yeah, G. Fagel.
Yes.
E-L. Fagel.
Yes, E-L.
That's my name.
Fagel.
Steyman. Oh, I never told you about my name is Steyman. That is an interesting story, I tell you that.
Fagel Steyman?
Steyman.
And that was your maiden name?
Yeah.
So
but
you
when
never
I come here, yeah, when I come here, I made it to Stein. S-T-E-A-N. Stein. Until I got married. Fanny Steyman. I changed it.
All right. And why did you change your name? Did you?
Because it was too long and I didn't like it. And they say Fagel is equals to Fanny. So I said, of course, I come now. I wouldn't like it, Fanny. But they say that way, so they know better.
They sure do. What impressed you most when you came to the United States? We're now on the United States, and now we're going to talk mostly about the United States. And what impressed you the most?
Well, everybody was going to school, and that impressed me most of all, everybody.
That's what impressed you most of all. And what impressed you, was there anything else in Baltimore that impressed you when you first got off the ship?
I didn't see Baltimore.
Didn't
see it. Just by the station, just at the
when you arrived in Pittsburgh, what impressed you? Anything special?
No, nothing special, because I come from a big town. It was a beautiful town. We have such a beautiful street, and everything is kept so clean. That didn't do it.
You were a little disappointed, weren't you?
Yeah.
You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I was disappointed, because we had a Nevsky Prospect where people go back and forth, like downtown. It was something out of this world, out of the world.
Do you remember what your first day in Pittsburgh was like?
Well, I was glad to get here.
You were glad to get
here? I was very happy to get here.
You were just happy?
Yeah, I was just happy.
You don't remember?
But then after that, I was miserable. I was very miserable. You know why? I was very lonely. Very lonely. Because I didn't know a soul, and I didn't know the people that I come to. I didn't know them.
Your cousin?
Yeah. But this cousin of mine that brought me over, they lived in Frankston Avenue, which was a Gentile neighborhood at that time. Now it's colored, but it's all white. But he has a sister who lives in town, here on Aaron Street, and they say, well, she took me over and I stayed with her. I had a very good home with her. And so I was married.
And who did you stay with? What was her name?
With Loeb. Esther Loeb.
Esther Loeb. And what street was that on? You mentioned the name of the street.
The street, Aaron Street.
Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. Aaron Street is up on the hill. But nevertheless, I was very lonely. She was good to me. She took like a mother's place. She was very good to me. I didn't go to work. I stayed with her. She kept me up. But school, I didn't go to school because I wanted to go. I was anxious to go to work and pay for my ticket. My ticket was $47.
The ticket was $47?
Yeah. The $50 I gave him back as soon as I saw him. I gave him back the $50 right away. And well, when I come over, this cousin of mine, she says, well, you'll stay with me. This is a Jewish neighborhood. You'll like it better. There's a Gentile neighborhood.
Is that Mrs. Loeb?
Yeah, that's Mrs. Loeb. She had one little girl. She was 9 months old. She was a young person. So
what
I stayed with her.
Where do they still live here in Pittsburgh?
The family?
Yes.
Yeah, they live in Pittsburgh.
And the little girl, what's her name?
Her name is Martha Fine.
Martha Fine.
They live in Oakland. They live in Conocraft Avenue in Kennett Square. The mother died. She was very good to me. That was my home. I called it. But till I made it, until I got used to it, I thought I was never going to make it. I thought I would have to go back home. I was very lonely. School didn't go to my head. Nothing went to my head. I was just miserable. I was glad to be left alone and sit and cry all the time.
So we have a question here that says, was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years? Was it?
No, nothing disappointed me.
Nothing disappointed you, even though you were unhappy?
I was unhappy because I was alone.
No.
I was too young to be alone.
But you weren't disappointed in anything?
No. No, I went to work after that. I had to work on Saturday, but I did. That's why I didn't go to work.
Uh-huh.
Because I was very religious.
Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you came from another country or you were an immigrant?
No, never.
After living in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would eventually accomplish your goal in coming here?
Yeah.
You did feel that you accomplished it
in
the first 5 years?
Much better. I was much better off.
Like what?
I made money. I paid for my ticket. I went for vacation. I have an uncle in Cincinnati. I went to Cincinnati on my own money. Those days they used to go for vacation to Cambridge Springs. I went to Cambridge Springs a couple times. I used to dress nice. I figured I accomplished what I wanted.
That was the first 5 years?
Yes.
All right. And was there, excuse me, where was your first home in this area? Was that on Aaron Street?
Yes.
Aaron Street. And what was it like? What was the neighborhood like?
The neighborhood was all a Jewish neighborhood.
All Jews?
All Jewish, yeah.
And you lived with a cousin?
Yeah, I lived with a cousin.
Mrs. Loeb.
Yeah.
All right.
These people were nice. They were sociable.
They
very
were sociable.
Nice.
And how long did you live there?
Well, she didn't have enough room for me, so we moved from there to Devonport Street.
And how long did you live there? I mean, how long did you live on Aaron Street?
We lived there, well, I come in December, we lived until May.
So you lived 6 months?
Yeah.
And then did you all move to Devonport? Your cousin took you, you and your cousin and her baby moved to Devonport Street?
Yeah, then she had more room for me.
And how long did you live there?
For about 5 years.
5 years. And where was Devonport Street? On the hill also?
Yeah, it's also on
the
hill. It was all Jewish.
All right.
It was nice at that time.
And was this your own? Was this your cousin's home, or did she rent it?
She rented.
She rented.
Yeah, she never had a home.
And what kind of work did you do when you first came to this country? Your first job?
Dressmaking.
You did do dressmaking. And do you remember who you worked for, privately, or?
No. It was a big place. What was this place? Oh, it was a very exclusive place. There was a girl working there that I became to be friendly with, a friend of hers. And it was a very exclusive place. They paid me. My first job was $3 a week they paid me.
$3 a week?
Yeah.
You don't remember the name of the place?
No.
All right.
But this other place that I, right after that, she took me into a...
How long did you work here?
No, not very long.
Not
just
long.
A little while.
Like how long?
No, but maybe a month.
And then after that?
After that, I went to work in a very exclusive place they had. There was a bank, and where Spears store, where the store where Spears used to be in downtown, right at the where Max Sazen's is, used to be a building there. It was a bank upstairs.
And you don't remember the name of the place?
The name of the no, it was in that place, and that's it. But the Max Sazen's is right at the corner.
That's where you worked. And how long did you work there?
Well, I worked there for a couple of years. They were paying me $7 a week at that time.
$7.
Yeah.
All right. You got your training in home, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dressmaker. I went to a dressmaker to learn.
And what kind of work did you do when you first came to Pittsburgh? The
same kind of always. I'm still doing it.
Are
still
you?
Still sewing.
Are you?
Still working. I work in Kaufman.
Now, what were your hours?
The hours, I think, they weren't bad. I think from 9 to 6 or so. We worked 6 days a week.
6 days. You did work on the Jewish holiday. I mean, you did work on Saturday, I'm sorry.
Yeah, after that I worked on Saturday.
You did.
That's why I didn't work at the beginning, because I tried to fight it, but I figured I couldn't fight it. It was bigger than me.
If you can't fight them,
join
them. Join them. You remained at this work all your life then?
Yeah, all my life.
All your life.
I can't remember anything else better than that.
And did you belong to any kind of a union at all, ever? Any dressmaker's union?
No. There was no union at that time. They made a union later on. I guess you have that on the record. Later on. Now I belong to a union.
You do belong to the...
Yeah. Now I belong. I work part-time.
You work part-time at Kaufman?
Yeah. I belong to Local 86. I'm amalgamated.
Local?
I belong before I was married there, too.
Local?
86.